So with the backdrop of this Holt versus Hobbs case before the Supreme Court, is the issue of religious expression by prisoners something of a symbol of vastly diminished civil rights by prisoners compared with other players in the community, such as corporations? The issue of prisoner rights as compared to citizens and corporations is a chilling narrative of the whole saga of the detainees at Guantanamo Bay, according to our next guest. Eric L. Lewis is the chairman of Reprieve U.S., and for more than a decade, he has represented prisoners held at Guantanamo. He writes that recent Supreme Court decisions on religious rights and the precedents at Gitmo constitute a disturbing pattern. The people inside prison, he says, have far fewer protections than the corporate people on the outside.
The court, while it may purport to balance rights or against security interests, comes down on the side of security interests. And there's a real unwillingness to dig deep into what the security justification might be. So I do see an erosion of rights for people who are powerless in the society.
Let's get into some details here. You write in the New York Times that this erosion is taking place, but I'm wondering, based on what you said in the Times, do you believe this is a coherent ideology that is being steadfastly followed, you know, lockstep from one point to the other in this erosion, or is it more something that is a result of the kind of chaos that you describe in the Roberts Court, in the nature of the decisions, the kinds of decisions that it's making, and the divisions on that court right now?
Well, there's a pretty clear 4-4 voting block on most of the most controversial and political cases, and so a lot of it has to do with how Justice Kennedy is going to frame the issue, and he tends to be pretty hard on criminal law and prisoners' rights issues. So I think it's going in fits and starts. There's certainly a block of four that on most issues tends to side with the interests of state power against those of individuals, unless we're looking at state power versus corporate power, in which case the balance shifts.
Would you say that this is Anthony Kennedy's ideology, or that it's the entire conservative bloc that you've described on the court?
I think it's the bloc of four that has that ideology, and I think Justice Kennedy has what you could call, I suppose, a case-by-case method, maybe more akin to Justice O'Connor's, but I think it's less that than framing the issue in a way that may appeal to Justice Kennedy's views of how the Constitution should operate. So, for example, he's been very strong on gay rights. That's something that he can understand. The gay rights issue is an issue which tends to cross class lines. But prisoners' rights, and particularly detainee rights, is an issue where he's seen, you know, reasons to affirm the Constitution, to stand up for the judiciary against the executive, but not in a really important or effective way. And although the Supreme Court has issued some positive decisions with respect to Guantanamo, they've allowed the D.C. Circuit to undermine the effect of those decisions. So in the end, it's effectively an assertion of judicial supremacy, but one without any teeth.
All right, I'm going to go back to being a first-year law student here and sure. Note the poetic justice, the alliteration between Holt versus Hobbs being argued today before the Supreme Court and the Hobby Lobby case, which you pull out from the previous term, on whether corporations have rights to express their religion versus whether prisoners have rights to express their religion. On the basis of this religious issue, are corporations, people, and prisoners less than that?
That's the way the court has come out in these cases, and I think it shows a pretty unsteady appreciation of corporate law. Justice Alito said corporations are just groups of people. Well, they're not. Corporations are artificial persons that are created to limit the liability of people, and they are there to pool capital and do business. Everybody in a corporation has a right to practice his religion, from the highest employee to the lowest employee. And the question then becomes, does the corporation have the right to express religious views in order to opt out of statutes like the Affordable Care Act to deny certain kinds of contraception? So the impact is not that the corporation has a right. The analysis is that the owners of the corporation have the right to impose their religious views on their employees. And if they want to use the corporate form and they want to limit liability, the corporation is a fundamentally secular unit. And I think to give corporations those sorts of rights essentially ends up choosing owners over workers. And then when you compare that with how prisoners are treated, prisoners are not viewed as persons and corporations are. It leads to a really anomalous set of results.
All right. That is a complicated and sophisticated legal argument. But if I were to just ask simply the question, in America today, are prisoners less than people based on your reading of the law? What would you say?
I think they shouldn't be, but in many ways they are. And that the interests of the state and security seem to trump their rights again and again when you're looking at religious rights, when you're looking at medical care. We're in court today, yesterday and today, on the rights of hunger strikers at Guantanamo Bay. And you know, the needs of the institution always seem to trump the values and rights of the prisoners, the idea being your prisoners, and the state can do what it wants with you within very broad limits because you're inside.
Eric L. Lewis is chairman of the Reprieve USA organization, who recently wrote an article for the New York Times about detainees at Guantanamo. He spoke with us from Washington, D.C.